welcome to Two Book Minimum, where this is the second time I'm recording this episode because the audio got messed up the first time. I'm Monica Fumarolo. Today I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite fantasy series of all times, and it is one that I hold in a special place in my heart, not just because it's amazing, because it is, but this was also my introduction to this author's really fantastic and eclectic body of work. I'm going to be talking about the Shades of Magic trilogy by V.E. Schwab. Now, since it's a trilogy, I'm going to be talking about books 1 and 2 in this episode, and then in my next episode, I will be covering book 3 and my overall impressions. I think that's enough introduction. Let's just jump in. Kel is an Antari, a rare kind of magician who can travel between worlds. He serves the royal family in the city of Arnes, which he thinks of as Red London. There's also Grey London, which is the world we live in, and there's no magic. White London, where magic has led to bloody conquests, and Black London, which was destroyed and sealed off when magic knew no limits and thirsted for absolutely everything. I'm reading my notes, and apparently that's what it said, so that's what it did. But in addition to his courtly duties to his adoptive family, talking to the royals of different worlds, Kel smuggles magical objects from his rich red London to the mundane gray one. The risks are high, but so is the thrill for him. And as someone who's lived a pretty sheltered life, he likes that there's this part that he has that the royal family, his adoptive parents, can't touch. And so as much as you can rise high, that's how much farther and harder he can fall. When Kel ends up with a powerful artifact from Black London, which shouldn't exist, he knows it must be returned to where it came from. Throw in Lila Bard, a Grey London pickpocket and thief who is cunning and longs for adventure, and Kel is very quickly in way over his head. Now, the most recent time I read this was a reread for me. I think it was the third time now that I've read this book. I read it once in print. The second time I read it was as the audiobook, and then third time in print again. And I've got to say, it still holds up and blows me away, and I'm noticing new things each time. Rereads are a challenge for me sometimes because my to-read list and the shelf of unread books in my home is definitely intimidating, but there's something about revisiting a world and going back to it, and especially because this series now has a spin-off series, I wanted things to be fresh in my head. So I think this book holds up in a lot of ways. I'm gobsmacked by V.E. Schwab's talent. And my thoughts that I noted down in my notebook here were, I remembered the basic plot here, but I forgot how much I forgot. How exactly Kel and Lila met, the role of Holland, who is the Antari from White London, and glimpses of his own story. These were things that I knew happened, but it was so much more vivid and impressive and specific than I remember. Kel and Lila are a duo of protagonists that all I wrote down was wow in all capital letters. I adore them. I think that individually they are incredible and can stand on their own, but you put them together and it's honestly a toss-up with every interaction if they are going to kiss each other or kill each other, like making out or stabbing each other with knives. It could go either way, and it is downright electric, and it makes this book that comes in at a couple hundred pages fly by. The pacing is fantastic, and even though you are switching back and forth between different points of view and sometimes different Londons even, you get the sense that things are moving. For such a big book, it takes place within a relatively short amount of time, and I am also a sucker for those kinds of stories. So V.E. Schwab has routinely expressed in interviews that she has done and her newsletter that when she writes, she loves playing God. That's what she does. And that there is a sense that comes across very clearly that she likes to know absolutely as much as possible about her characters, about the world, and in this case with the magic, what are the rules? It's not just people running around with spells. Like, different people are capable of doing different things in different ways, and what makes an Antari different from like any other magician in Red London, because it's not like that's unique to Kel, but he is exceptional in a world of exceptional people. So I think this planning and forethought makes for such a rich reading experience, because the world building, or in this case, multiple worlds, because there's three Londons that the story takes place in, it is so rich and tactile and lived in. And those attributes, I think, are particularly important in a series, because it's got to be a place that you've invested enough time in that you want to return to. Same goes for the characters. They are three-dimensional, and Schwab is gifted at writing characters here who are dynamic and interesting. And she proves something that I think is a challenge when I was still dabbling in writing, and for any young writer, about you wanting to care what happens to a character, even if you don't care for them. And this is something that I think really hit home for me in book two, A Gathering of Shadows. Now, I'm going to keep going here. So book one, I was a little vague on the overall arching things. I am about to hit spoiler city. So if you don't want to know what happens, just trust me, read this series. It's amazing. But if you, like me, have read the whole thing, keep on listening, because now we're jumping into A Gathering of Shadows. And it's been a few months since the bloody night of dark magic run amok in Red London. Yes, it seems like nothing will ever return to normal. The Black London artifact was returned, and that danger was thwarted, or so it appeared, but at an incredibly high price. We have Kel, who is no longer just an outsider for being an Antari, an outsider in the royal family, but he has now tied his very life to his adoptive brother, Prince Rye, to save his life. And the consequences of that come with physical costs for both of them, along with the sort of mental price that he has to pay. The king and queen are the closest thing Kel has ever had or remembers to parents. They no longer trust him at all. They also are not so impressed with their own son at the moment, who they are terrified that they thought he died, because he basically did. But they can also sense that something is not right. And there's also the one-of-a-kind Lila Bard, who is not even around as a friend or a distraction for Kel. She decided at the end of book one to, you know, go off and find adventure. And it turns out that has happened by way of joining a pirate ship's crew, going out to sea, finding those adventures that she has craved, and getting in touch with some magical talents that she never knew she had. That does not mean, though, that our protagonists are separated forever. They are reunited by the Elements Games, which is being hosted in Arnes this year. This is an extravagant international magical competition, and it means some truly outrageous choices are on the table. Rye has been organizing the entire event. It's his distraction from the very real mortal choices that Kel made on both of their behalves. And so he is invested in this. He's the one in charge of it. And he has secured a spot for Kel to compete in disguise, giving his brother an outlet for all these built up talents and rage that he is feeling. While at the same time, Lila is coming back for the event because, being Lila, she stole a spot for herself. Don't want to spoil how, it's pretty great, but she's in it too. So sure, she has this raw power, which is wild considering her unmagical origin world, but she's also untrained for the most part. So how long is her luck gonna last? While the world's eyes are all on the games, much bigger storms are brewing in White London, while Holland, the Antari from there that we met back in book one, has claimed the throne for himself, as well as made a deal with the dark source of magic itself from Black London. As one London rises, another one must fall. My thoughts that I wrote down again were, this is a reread in which I forgot how much I forgot. For example, I somehow completely forgot that Kel is in the Element Games. I don't know how I managed to do that. Mostly, I guess, when I think about this book, I think about Lila's story, and because it's such a huge shift for her, in that she goes from being curious about magic and like not fully necessarily believing what she's seeing in book one to now she is wielding it with the best of them in book two, but also she's biting off more than she can chew, and then thinking about it as she runs away. So I definitely think of this book more as Lila's story, because it is such a big arc for her. Also, she is the character featured on the cover in the print editions that I have. I love this book in that every major character gets even bigger and deeper, and I don't know if I believed that was possible. Readers here get so much insight into not just Kel and Lila, but also our primary cast expands, really getting into Rise, into Holland, and this new addition, Alucard Emery, who he is part pirate, part nobility, Lila's pirate ship captain, Rise, former and possibly current love interest. He is a talented magician and all-around badass. He is basically like queer Han Solo, but sanctioned. Like, he's not a rebel, but maybe he could be. Readers of all genders want to be him and date him. Many books, when they're parts of series, will kind of just sit and only remain with the first original character crew. But he is such a wonderful, perfect addition to this world, making it richer and deeper. Holland is also back. I will admit, in book one, I didn't give him a thought or the attention that he deserved. He was so clearly there as a foil for Kel, and I got it. But so much of my attention just went elsewhere, and here he's impossible to ignore. Not only does he get point of view chapters here, but he is so much grayer and complex, and his existence is wild. And in book one, it's easy just to think of him as like a flat villain. I mean, he's not the main antagonist, but he's certainly someone who's like not on Team Kel or Team Lila. Like, he's a bad guy, but he's not the worst guy, as we see here. And we also just get a really incredible sense for what is driving this guy. And I found that fascinating. And I kind of loved that I forgot it, because it was like experiencing it for the first time all over again. So in book one, our characters are solving a problem of their own making. In book two, we have a competition story. And like I've said, this series, it's rich. These books are big. The fact that I'm feeling like I just was discovering things, even though I had read them before, chalk that up to my memory, possibly, but I think it's far more accurate to say it is a testament of V.E. Schwab's careful planning, careful writing, and the fact that she can juggle so many different projects and series and timelines and thoughts at once. She describes it as having like different stories on the stove, and it's just a matter of which pot she's attending to at what time, and she lets them simmer until they're ready. I think that's a beautiful metaphor. She has so many other ones in this series, and it's the one for people, millennials, I should say, who grew up reading fantasy and wanting more, but not necessarily in a Game of Thrones, dragons kind of way. This is fantasy where I just like that it was so clearly considered and that vision is seen the whole way through. So those are books one and two. Join me in my next episode where I'll be talking about book three, A Conjuring of Light. There will be plenty of spoilers on that book, as well as my thoughts on the series overall. In case you haven't figured it out, I flippin' love it. Like what you're hearing? Please subscribe on whatever platform it is you are tuning into this by. You can also follow along for much more regular posts on Instagram at two.book.minimum. That's two book minimum. May your free time be full of stories, and until next time, happy reading.